الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أما بعد, so we continue, walillahi alhamd, studying together the treatise of the great Imam and Muhaddith, the Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajuri rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the ulama of al-Islam and from the ulama of the Sunnah. He died in the year 360, rahimahullahu ta'ala, reading his great treatise and his great work, Akhlaq Hamalat al-Qur'an, the manners, the etiquettes of the carriers of the Qur'an. After reading his introduction and reading his chapters that he had mentioned in the beginning, encouraging the one who listens and reads his book to study and to learn the Qur'an, to be from the people of the Qur'an, and to follow and to apply the Qur'an, we began reading the chapter, which is the maqsood and the intent from the author in authoring this work, Babun Dhikru Akhlaqi Ahli al-Qur'an, the chapter entitled The Mentioning of the Manners of the People of the Qur'an. We began in our last class reading from this chapter, and I will summarize what he mentioned, that the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has taught him the Qur'an, and He has favored him and gave him the virtue of allowing him to learn His book and His words. Meaning the one who learned the Qur'an of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the speech of Allah, and the one who learns the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not a virtue from that individual, rather it's a virtue upon that individual. And it's a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has guided him to this knowledge and to this truth. So then the one who has learned the Qur'an, it's upon him to be humble. And it's upon him to be grateful, and it's upon him to be thankful, and to know that this is a grace and a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given him this knowledge and understanding of this book and of the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that there are many people that do not have this understanding. There are many people that do not know one letter from His book subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other people who know many letters from His book and many surahs, but they do not follow it. So the one who is following it and applying it and learning it and reciting it in the daytime and in the nighttime, let him praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize that the bounty is from his Lord and that the favor is from his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the one who would like to be from the people of the Quran entirely and truly and sincerely, then he has to apply that book, what he has learned. Then he has to apply that book and what he has learned. He has to use this information in a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by applying it in private and in public. يَعْمَلُونَ بِالْعِلْمِ يَتُرُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ يَتُرُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أَيْ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ وَيَعْلَمُونَ بِهِ حَقَّ الْعَمَلِ. Applying it sincerely and truly, the proper application. Reciting it, the proper application. The one who would like to be from these people, he mentioned here, the first thing he must do, this is where we left off. He said, فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعًا لِقَلْبِهِ, that he must make the Qur'an the rabi' of his heart. The rabi' of his heart. The rabi' is a time, it's from the seasons, from the fusul, the time of rabi' is the time before summer. Whenever the plants come to life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rain and the barren earth comes to life from the blessing of the rain, from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the earth produces all types of flowers and zuhur, and all types of crops and plants, and different colors, and different flavors of fruits and vegetables, and the likes, and it's beautiful. And we see in these days right now, the one who looks outside, he can see the blooming of the flowers and the likes. The trees are turning white, and some of them are pink. And the likes like this in this beautiful manner, and the one who looks at them, he'll find beauty in them. And his heart will be delighted from the rabi' that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings, from His power, bringing the season subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the word rabi' has been mentioned that it is the matr itself, it's the rain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to this barren land. Like that, he is telling us, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرْآنِ حَقًّا أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعًا لِقَلْبِهِ يُحْيِي قَلْبَهُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. That he will bring his heart back to life with the Qur'an. يَعْمُرُ مَا خَرِبَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. That which has been destroyed, that which has been corrupted in his heart, because the heart becomes corrupt, and the heart becomes weak, and the heart can become overcome by desires and by whims, especially in our days whenever we're tried, even in looking in front of us or in the phone or in the street or we go to the store, no matter where we go, it's a trial from desires and whims, from the opposite sex and the likes like this, and the temptations of the dunya, the heart can become affected. How to fix that? Ponder over the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and look into His words subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek to apply what is pleasing to Him and His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions, seeking His pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, the Qur'an will be a rabi' for his heart. It will be the life of his heart and the delight of his heart. And it will be like the rain that brings life to the barren land, the heart that becomes sick and the heart that becomes dead from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the heart that becomes heedless can come back to life. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah gives life to the dead, to the earth after its death. Likewise, He gives life to the hearts. And this opportunity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most forgiving and merciful for those who take the path to His mercy and take the path to His forgiveness subhanahu wa ta'ala by following His book. So this is the first step. Some people, they take the Qur'an and they throw it behind their back and they don't look at it except for maybe in Ramadan. Or they do not flip the pages except for maybe in Ramadan. Others, maybe they read it a lot, but they don't attempt to understand it. Some, they even understand it, but they refuse to apply it in their life. The Qur'an, it has to be recited and applied in this manner. It will be a shifa, and it will be a rabir. It will be the spring and the delight. And it will be a means to rectify the heart of an individual. So this is how the author, he began. He said, يَأْمُرُ مَا بِي مَا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ مَا خَارِبَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ يَتَأَدَّبُ بِأَدَبْ Al-Qur'an. He would discipline himself with the discipline of the Qur'an. He would discipline himself with the manners of the Qur'an. وَيَتَخَلَّقُ بِأَخْلَاقٍ شَرِيفَةٍ يَبِينُ بِهَا أَيَتَمَيَّزُ بِهَا عَنْ سَائِرِ النَّاسِ. That he would take on the most noble manners. That he would distinguish himself by way of them, by way of these manners, from the rest of the people. The person of the Qur'an. The person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true sahib sunnah, a person who is really following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be much different from the people. He will be much different from the people. The one who is applying al-Islam properly, the true sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the true deen of Allah azza wa jalla, he will be different. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described the people of al-istiqama, the people of steadfastness upon the deen and upon the straight path, bi-annahum ghuraba, that they are strangers. في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود كما بدأ غريبا فطوبى للغرباء. That verily Islam, it began as something strange and it will return to be something strange. So glad tidings of paradise for those strangers. The strangers, who are they? الذين يستقيمون على الأوامر وعلى النواهي يستقيمون على صراط الله المستقيم. Those people who are steadfast upon the commandments of Allah and His prohibitions. Those people who are steadfast upon the straight path. Ah, they're strange. That's what he's mentioning here. The one that he disciplines himself with the discipline of the Qur'an. He takes on the noble manners that are found in the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَبِينُ بِذَلِكَ هَا أَنْ سَعَدِ النَّاسِ. He will be distinguished like this from the rest of the people. He will be distinguished from the rest of the people. Allah raises in ranks those who follow His book. Allah raises in ranks those who follow His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah raises in ranks those who are upon the correct path. He will be distinguished. Now, he will be distinguished from who? مِمَّنْ لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. From those who do not read the Qur'an. Or from those who do not follow the Qur'an, even if they did read it. So the author, he began mentioning that this is the case. The Qur'an is not a book that is simply read. Rather, it is something that will rectify the heart of an individual by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. After pondering on it and striving to follow it with a good intention in reciting it, seeking the blessing of the Qur'an and the guidance of the Qur'an, seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the intention from reciting it and reading it, to learn what Allah has commanded and to learn what Allah has prohibited and applying that, the best one can, seeking forgiveness for his shortcomings, in this manner the Qur'an will become the delight of his heart. And he will find great benefits in verses that are recited. And when he ponders over them, he will find that his life has changed. And the things that he used to dislike, he will become to like them. And the things that he used to like, and his heart was inclined towards, he will leave them off, because now he has learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves from him certain actions and he dislikes from him certain actions. And so he would change according to what he has been commanded in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking on these manners. So this is the case in general. And now the author, he will mention how to do that specifically. So in general, this is the case. The Quran, the person of the Quran, he must make that the book of Allah the delight of his heart, the means of rectification of his heart, the means of bringing his heart back to life into the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ مُنْ يَسْتَعْمِلَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْأَلَانِيَةِ. He says, so the very first thing that he must apply and practice, that he must use, the fear of Allah in private and in public. In private and in public. In our previous class, we've seen some benefits with regards to the word at-taqwa. Who can remember some of them? We stopped about on this point, discussing the issue of at-taqwa. To summarize the word at-taqwa, the ulama, they mentioned that the meaning of the one who has at-taqwa, what does it mean? At-taqwa is imtithal al-awamir. Imtithal al-awamir. Wa tarku al-nawahi. Or wajtinab al-nawahi. Naam, imtithal, insan, al-Muslim, yamtathil, ay yanqad, wa yudhi'u Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi amrihi. That he will comply to the commandment. This is the first thing. And he will stay away from and leave off the prohibitions. This is taqwa, to summarize it. To comply to the commandments and application of them. And to leave off and stay away from entirely the prohibitions. This one that is performing this, he is performing at taqwa. He is performing at taqwa. But it has been mentioned that the word at taqwa, what was the root word? Who can remind us? Where's the word at taqwa come from? Which verb? Waqa. Waqa yaqi. Qi. Qi. رَبَّنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقَى يَقِي قِي. So وَقَى means to protect someone or something. And قِنَا مِنْ عَذَابَ النَّارِ, save us, protect us from the punishment of the fire. This word is in the Qur'an. It is used. قِي وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the punishment of the fire. So it's from the verb وَقَى يَقِي قِي, وِقَايَةً. Al-wiqaya is called a prevention. The Arabs, they say, al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj, that prevention is better than the cure. And this is the case. The individual, if an individual were sick and he has the cure, this is one case. Another person, he's not sick at all and he's free from the disease entirely and he has prevention away from the disease entirely. That's another case. Which one is better? Al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. This is a proverb that the Arabs say. Three words. Al-Biqaya, Khayrun Min, Al-Ilaj. Four words. You can memorize it. This is important to understand. Because likewise, to have prevention from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to have prevention from entering the hellfire, to be protected from that entirely, is better than somebody being thrown in the hellfire or punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then taken out and then forgiven. Because the people who enter the paradise, they don't enter in the same fashion. The people who enter the paradise, they don't enter in the same manner. There are those who enter fi awwali wahla, in the very beginning. Nas'al Allah min fadlihi. And then there are those who enter after they've been recompensed, or after they've been held accountable, or they've been presented their deeds, al-arud, they've been presented their deeds, and then forgiven. Then there are those who enter the paradise after they enter the hellfire first, after they're cast into the hellfire and purified from their sins. So which one is better? Al-Bikhaya to Khayrun Min Al-Ilaj. Al-Bikhaya Khayrun Min Al-Ilaj. This word at taqwa, it comes from the same root as al-wiqayah. So the word at taqwa, it is a prevention. This is what it is. And also al-wiqayah, barakallahu fikum, is a hajiz. Waqi. It is something that is a barrier. The ulama, they mention like this, it's a barrier. So even for example, in the dunya, when it's cold, you take a coat for protection, to protect you from the cold. This is like your wiqayah. Taqi nafsaka bil-mi'taf. You protect yourself like this. So the ulama, they say that the word at-taqwa, the original meaning is that you take something to protect you, to use it to protect yourself from that which you fear. Now, you use something and as a means to protect yourself. It's a wiqayah. Taqika min ma takhafu minhu wa takhsha. That you use this thing as a shield to protect you from something that you fear. For example, I said the coat. You use it as a means to protect yourself from the cold. Like this, it's a means of protection. It's cold outside, protect yourself, bundle up. This is a prevention, a protection. This is from the same word, wiqayah. طيب. The word taqwa, it has this root and it has this meaning. But here, what do we want to be protected? What do we want to be protected from? What do we want the prevention from? The taqwa is a wiqaya min adab Allahi subhanahu wa taala wa min ghadabihi wa sakhafihi wa min an-nar. A taqwa, it is a prevention. A wiqaya, it is a protection from the anger of Allah and from the punishment of Allah and from the hellfire. كيف تكون وكيف تقوم هذه التقوى? How would the taqwa be? What is the reality? الإيمان الصادق والعمل الصالح. This is the case. This is true taqwa. The one who has الإيمان الصادق, true sincere faith, coupled with العمل الصالح بإذن الله, this is the means for his taqwa. And this is what will protect him from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla by his permission. And this is what will protect him from the fire. This is at-taqwa. We summarize. Al-Iman al-Sadiq wal-Amal al-Salih. Al-Iman al-Sadiq wal-Amal al-Salih. True, sincere faith with the fruits of righteous actions. This is at-taqwa. And this is a wiqaya and a prevention and a protection for a believer in this life from the punishment of Allah and from His anger. And likewise from the next life, from the punishment of Allah and from His anger. So also they mentioned, for example, al-wiqaya, maybe it can be also translated to mean a shield. Al-wiqaya, a junna, a shield. طيب. If somebody has a shield, he has the shield, alhamdulillah. But the shield is weak. Maybe the first arrow, bounce off. The next arrow, bounce off. What if it hits the weak spot? What happens? He's in danger. After a few arrows hitting the shield, what happens? It weakens and weakens and weakens. It's getting danger. This is the example likewise of an individual's iman and his taqwa. If it's strong, it will protect him very well, shield him. But if it's weak, then maybe the anger or the fire can come through. So then the fact that a person is cautious and careful of his iman and his deeds, his righteous deeds, this is of the utmost importance. For this fact, the author, he began in this manner. This is the case. The first thing a person of the Quran, the one that applies the Quran, the true application, that recites the Quran, the true recitation, who follows the Quran, the correct following, this is the first thing. He's fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by applying what He has commanded and staying away from what He has prohibited with sincere faith. In the time of the Tabi'een, the fitna occurred and the splitting in the Ummah occurred. And the end of the time of the Sahaba and the beginning in the time of the Tabi'een, this is whenever the splitting and the differences occurred. There was a man who became in charge. He had Imrah. His name was Al-Hajjaj Ibn Yusuf Al-Thaqafi. And he was oppressing the people. And many people, they wanted to overthrow him. But the ulama of the Sunnah, they're telling no. They're telling to hold fast to the third principle from the Usul al-Sitta that we've been studying. As-Sam'u wa-Ta'ah. Naam, wa anta amara alaykum abdun habashi. Now, but there were some people who were becoming impatient. From them, there was a man named Abdurrahman ibn Ash'ath. He was becoming impatient. And he wanted to make kharuj on the ruler. The people were telling him no. And likewise, there's another, and this is a great error in this time, but there was one man, his name is Talq ibn Habib. He died before 100 years. He was from the Zuhad, and from those who abstained from the dunya, from the ulama. So the students of knowledge, they came to him, and because at this time, Ibn Ash'ath, he started to make khuruj, fitna came, and blood is spreading. Fitna is spreading, and the blood is being shed. So the students and of hadith and the likes, they came to Talq ibn Habib, and they asked him, كيف نتقي الفتنة? How do we protect ourselves from this fitna? كيف نتقي? How do we protect ourselves from the fitna? And this, Allahu Akbar, is a very good question. And we can ask ourselves now with many fitnas right now, fitna in the deen, fitna in the dunya, fitna in the shubuhat, fitna in the shahawat. كيف نتقي هذه الفتنة? How do we protect ourselves from the fitna? This is their question. He said, ندفع أو نتقي ندفع الفتنة بالتقوى. He said that we protect ourselves from the fitna with taqwa. This is the way. How we say from the fitna, whatever fitna it may be. He said, she said, any case. Dunya deen, any case. With what? With taqwa. With the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So at this time they want details. They said, okay, well, what is taqwa? And this is the point here for mentioning. He gave a definition. That since this time, the ulama, they have transmitted. Even Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this is from the best definitions of the word of taqwa. But this is how this definition came, at the time of a fitna. So we want to protect ourselves from the fitna like this. He said, what is taqwa? They said, what is taqwa? He said, Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, أن تعمل بطاعة الله. Number one. على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. Three things. This is the first step. أن تعمل بطاعة الله. To work in the obedience of Allah. How? على نور من الله. Upon a light from Allah. Doing what at the same time? ترجو ثواب الله. Hoping for the reward of Allah. So the one, for example, who is doing actions of obedience, but his heart is not hoping for the reward, he's missing something. He didn't complete the taqwa. The one who wants to do acts of obedience, but he has no nur from Allah, no light from Allah, no knowledge of the deen, and he wants to do the acts of obedience, he's not going to achieve his goal. So first thing, a person, in order to have this taqwa, this is the advice of the author, the first thing for a person of the Quran, يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَسْتَعْمِلَ التَّقْوَى. That he must use a taqwa. This means that he will work in the obedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah. First three things. But he didn't stop here, rahimahullah. Rather, he mentioned after that, وَأَنْ تَتْرُكَ مَعْسِيَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ. And that you leave off the disobedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. So this is a taqwa. This is the reality of a taqwa. This definition, it has several ideas that we have to understand and comprehend as a Muslim. And strive against our own souls to apply them in our life so that we can be from the muttaqeen. Those people whom Allah has mentioned that they will benefit him in his book. Now, hoping for the reward from Allah. And to leave off the disobedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. Now, so we have to strive against our soul to apply this. The first thing, a person, and he would take the two sides, they do two things. They work in the obedience of Allah and they leave off the disobedience of Allah. How do they do this? Ala nurin min Allah, upon a light from Allah. This means they have sincere faith. They're doing this based upon sincere iman. And this is an indication because they hope for the reward and they fear the punishment. So the deeds of Al-Islam, the deeds of the Sunnah, the deeds that draw one near to Allah, the deeds that are the means to seek the pleasure of Allah, they must be performed in this manner. Upon a light from Allah. Upon a light from Allah, meaning upon knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not worshipped upon ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not worshipped with ignorance. Some people, maybe they try to worship Allah azza wa jalla, but because of their ignorance, they wind up disobeying Him. For example, I've seen this many times in different masajid. Somebody will want to pray Salat al-Duha or Salat al-Shuruq, right? So they want to sit in the masjid, wait till the Shuruq and then pray. But they don't realize the Salat al-Shuruq, it doesn't come in until after the sun rises, Qayd al-Rumah. Above the sun rise, the distance of a spear, which the ulama, they mention approximately 10 to 15 minutes after the actual sunrise. So they want to do the good, but because they don't have knowledge, they'll stand and pray right at sunrise. For example, like when they have the clocks that beep sometimes, right when that's the time when it's most prohibited to pray. But because of ignorance, he wants to do good. He doesn't want to disobey Allah. He's waiting in the masjid. Maybe he has things to do. But because he doesn't have a nur from Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to this act, so he's trying to do obedience, but he doesn't have the light from Allah. He doesn't have knowledge. He's doing it based upon ignorance. Then he winds up performing that act of worship at a time when it's prohibited. A stern prohibition from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for praying while the sun is rising. And whenever the sun is in the high zenith and when the sun is setting at this time. So to wait for the sun to come in this position and then pray, this is not an act of obedience. This is an act of disobedience. But because he is striving to perform this action without knowledge, then he is causing himself to fall into an act of disobedience and he didn't even know it. Rather, he thinks he's doing good. So again, this definition is very important. And تَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, that you work in the obedience of Allah. But how is that? عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, that you have knowledge, that you have a light from Allah. That you have a light from Allah, that you have knowledge. That you have knowledge. So any action that a Muslim endeavors or hopes to achieve or partake in, he has to learn what is permissible for him to do with regards to that. How to perform it properly. And the author, he's going to mention this, and we will see after this, and he's indicating this likewise. Everything after this, he is going to mention. If he speaks with knowledge. If he sits with, he sits with knowledge. If he's quiet, he's quiet with knowledge. If he wears clothes, he wears clothes with knowledge. He's going to mention all this indication, beginning with taqwa. Because the one who wants the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it must be with the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but upon knowledge, not upon ignorance. Not upon what I think is good or you think is good or like this, but rather upon what is legislated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ta'mala bi ta'atillah ala nurin min Allah. Important point, upon knowledge. Upon knowledge. What principle is that? We'll read the classes together now. For those who attend both of them. The fourth principle, from the fundamentals of Ahl Sunnah, to have knowledge and to know the correct knowledge. And this is the case because this is how the taqwa is achieved, upon knowledge. Now, the iman is sadiq, is iman that is based upon knowledge. That's how it becomes strong and true, by knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla, by knowing His religion, by knowing His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then we see, likewise, he's doing acts of obedience. And he's doing them with a light from Allah. But that's not enough either. That's not enough either for it to be taqwa. He mentioned here at the last point with regards to this, he said, وَتَرْجُ ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ. So he knows how to perform the action. He knows how to pray. He knows how to give charity. He knows how to make hajj. He has a light from Allah, alhamdulillah. The light of iman. And he's a Muslim and he's trying to do good. But the heart has to be involved. يَرْجُ أَوْ تَرْجُ ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ. He's hoping for the reward of Allah. He's hoping for the reward of Allah. How many times has an individual prayed and asked himself, was I hoping for the reward of Allah from that prayer? We take ourselves into account. I have to take myself first. We're brothers, alhamdulillah. Was I hoping for Allah? Was I hoping for the reward of Allah for that prayer? Was I hoping to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla and have this in my deeds? Or am I just praying because everybody's praying? It's become an adah now. The ibadah become an adah. هذه مصيبة عظيمة جدا. whenever the worship becomes an act of culture or everyday act, like changing lanes, la ibadah, it has to have the heart moving with it. Salat and zakat and recitation of the Quran, studying and learning and teaching, anything that's an act of worship in our religion, alhamdulillah, it has to be, we're hoping for the reward. And whenever this requires mujahada, this requires to strive against oneself, to strive against one's soul, to remember that there's a great reward, that my Lord has prepared a great reward for the one who prays sincerely and fulfills these obligations sincerely and hopes for his reward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has coupled this iman, and nur, knowledge, iman, sincere faith, with hoping for the reward. Specifically with some actions in Ramadan. You know the hadith. It's two hadith. Man sama Ramadan, imanan wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. Wa man qama Ramadan imanan wahtisaban. Imanan wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. And Ramadan is coming, alhamdulillah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever fasts the Ramadan, and another narration, whoever stands in the night prayer in the Ramadan, with sincere faith and hoping for the reward. And he mentioned it directly. With sincere faith and hoping for the reward. That's the point I'm mentioning in the narration of Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah. Hoping for the reward. Doing the deeds of worship, doing the deeds that are pleasing to Allah, hoping for the reward. Then his sins will be forgiven. So this is a pillar from the pillars of ibadah and the ibadah of the heart. That there's hope for the reward. That there's hope for the reward. Likewise, he said, وَأَن تَتْرُكَ مَعْصِيَةَ اللَّهِ. This is the same issue now. To leave off the disobedience from Allah, عَلَى نُورٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ, upon a light from Allah, he knows it's haram, and he leaves it because it's haram. Why? تَخَافْ إِقَابَ اللَّهِ. That you fear the punishment of Allah. You fear the punishment of Allah. When somebody, for example, there's a sight that comes that is not permissible in the street where the light's like this, or on the phone, he turns away. Why? Out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Taqwa. That he remembers that I have a Lord that sees me and hears me. Whenever people are backbiting, he doesn't indulge. Rather, he will reprimand them, or at least he will leave. And he won't partake in that with his tongue because he knows he has a Lord that hears him. And that he's going to be held accountable, and he fears that punishment. This is taqwa. He performs the good deed, hoping for the reward, and he stays away from the evil and from the haram, fearing the punishment. This is how he moves. So he's moving through his life, and his heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what it means here. And yastamila taqwa Allah Azza wa Jal. That he used the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the reality of this taqwa, this is the fear of Allah by performing the commandments and the prohibitions, by being upon knowledge, doing what Allah has commanded, hoping for His reward, staying away from what Allah has prohibited, fearing His punishment, doing this based upon knowledge. Likewise, it's been narrated by Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said with this regards, Al-Muttaquna ittaqaw ma hurrima alayhim wa addaw ma furida alayhim. Summarize again, that Hasan al-Basri said that the pious people of at-taqwa, they perform that which they feared and stayed away from that which is made impermissible for them, and they perform that which is obligatory upon them. And then he said, وَمَا زَالَتِ التَّقْوَى بِالْمُتَّقِينَ حَتَّى تَرَكُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْحَلَالِ مَخَافَةِ الْحَرَامِ. This is a very important point. For the people who want to have a higher status. وَلِكُلٍ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And for everybody their status and ranks, each one according to his deeds. The people in the paradise are not the same ranks and the same levels. The people in the dunya likewise are not the same ranks and the same levels. Those who want to strive higher, strive harder and go higher, he's mentioning here that taqwa will remain with the people of piety until they leave off much of that which is permissible, for fearing that which is haram. For fearing that which is haram. This is one of the methodology of the Salaf al-Salih. in life and dealing with the dunya. That, for example, we have the hudud of Allah Azza wa Jal. What does Allah say about the hudud? Tilka hudud Allahi fala. In one verse, ta'taduha. And don't transgress them. Another verse, fala taqrabuha. Don't come near them. That's the one we want. Do not cross them ever. If we cross the line, khalas, you went to the haram, off the straight path. But better than that, don't come near them. Don't come near them. This is what he is indicating here. That the people at the high ranks, the people of piety and righteousness, they will put a barrier between them and the limits of Allah, the haram. The haram is here. They'll put a barrier between them from haram, a barrier of halal. Halal things, a fence, so to say, so we can understand. A fence that stops at the halal. Before he falls into the haram, there's halal things he won't even do. Before the haram, there's halal things he won't even do. This is a barrier. فَمَنْ اتَّقَى شُبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِعِرْضِهِ وَدِينِهِ وَلِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ كَمَا فِي حَدِيثِ النُّمَعْ بِنْ بَشِيرٍ. That whoever he fears the doubtful matters, then he has verily freed himself from blame in his religion and in his honor and respect as a man or as a Muslim, woman likewise. The thing is, the issue is that he will strive to have a barrier between him and the haram. A barrier of halal, it's mubah, it's permissible. There's no blame for the one who takes part in it. But because of his fear, makhafata and yakhafil haram, for being afraid of falling into the haram, he'll stop there. These dealings and transactions, the ulama, they said they're permissible, but he'll leave some of them off. And he won't go there because he's afraid that this may lead him to the haram. Because he's afraid that this may lead him to the haram. In the same manner, I know any of the ulama, they say a shay will be shay yuthkar, it's a benefit. One thing leads to the mention of another, but the similar like this, barakallahu fikum, is the as-salawat ar-ratiba. Those who perform the ratiba, the salawat that's called ratiba, two before fajr. Four before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Isha. These are the ones the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't leave off while he was muqim, resident. The one who is preserving these, they're like a shield guarding his fard. If he is preserving these, that's like a fence keeping him, nothing's going to come to, he's preserving these. Before these go down, before he leaves off the fard, he's going to have to leave off these four before Dhuhr. But before he leaves, he misses the fajr, he's going to have to leave off these two. These are a guard and a barrier for him, protecting his fard, protecting his obligatory as-salat. In this manner, this is the same, similar idea. The same way like this, he'll leave off that halal, making a barrier between him and the haram. This is the one who is striving hard. This is the one who is striving hard. So the author, he mentioned like this. This is the case. That the first thing the person of the Quran he will do, he will have taqwa. He will use taqwa. He will apply taqwa in his life. He said, "Fi sirri wal alaniya," in private and in public. Likewise, that's another good point that we have to understand. Because this taqwa is not only applied in the masjid. Or it's not only applied with the good Muslim brothers. It's not only applied when the people are looking. It's not only applied when the parents are around. It's not only applied when the husband is there, or when the wife is there, or whenever the imam is there, or the light left. It's applied also in the job, around all disbelievers. It's also applied in the market, around people who we don't know. It's also applied in traveling upon ultimate strangers. At all times. This is how the Prophet ﷺ, he advised his companions, particularly Mu'adh. رضي الله عنه. He says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, اتق الله حيث ما كنت. Fear Allah wherever you may be. And at work, at home, in the dark, in the bedroom, in the restroom, أكرمكم الله. Everywhere, at all times. Fearing Allah. He says the first thing, if he wants to truly be from a person of the Quran, to use this taqwa في السر والعلانية. The ulama they used to mention, or the ulama they mentioned, the salaf, they would say, excuse me, that a person should strive to make his private affairs more upright than his outward affairs. And يُجَاهِدْ نَفْسَهُ أَن تَكُونَ خَلَوَاتُهُ أَصْلَحْ مِنْ جَلَوَاتِهِ. That he would strive that he, whenever he's by himself and alone, no wife, no husband, no child, no friend, no companion, no brother, no uncle, no father, when he's alone, that he would strive at this time to be more upright than whenever he's with his companions around the people. This requires for an individual to really make mujahada, that he would fear Allah in this manner even whenever he's alone. And so an individual, he will strive in public and in private to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked about shyness. And being shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the highest levels of iman. Being shy from the people, likewise, is good to have shyness, that the people would see an individual in a foul state or in a manner that is not befitting or becoming for a Muslim with his speech or with his conduct. But more important than that is to be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be shy from Allah azza wa jalla, that he would be somewhere where Allah is not pleased, or that he would say something that Allah dislikes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about that. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَقُّ وَنْ يُسْتَحْيَى مِنْهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That Allah, he has more rights for one to be shy from than the people. That Allah, he has more right to be shy from than the people. So the one who fears Allah Azza wa Jalla pretends, and he's upright, and he guards his tongue and the likes around certain people, and around other people he doesn't. This one, he is not having good manners with his Lord. He's not having good manners with his Lord. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, As-Sami' al-Basir, he can see and he can hear the same. It's not different. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he hears all things. Whenever one's in private or one is in public, or whenever one is in the masjid, or whenever one is at home, Allah Azza wa Jal, he can hear it all. It's easy for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a person to act in one manner in front of a group of people and differently in another group, this is an indication of a weakness in his iman, and that he is not shy from his Lord, rather he's shy from the people alone. That he's shy from the people alone. So a Muslim, he will strive against himself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned that the one who is a true fighter and striver, person, mujahid, which is translated to be a fighter in the cause of Allah, the one who is a true mujahid, man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah, the one who strives against his own soul to be obedient to Allah azza wa jal. From the very beneficial statements that have come from our salaf, with regards to the word at-taqwa, is a statement from Maymun ibn Mihran, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned about the person, so we can get an example of our salaf and how they understood the people of piety, the people of righteousness, and people of taqwa. So we can strive against our souls and help one another, reminding each other with sincere advice and good intention to strive to do good together. Seeking light from the statements of our salaf, he said here, Maymun ibn Mihran, rahimahullah, al-muttaqi ashaddu muhasabatan li nafsihi min ash-shariki ash-shahi li sharikihi. Subhanallah. This is the understanding that they have. He said the one who is muttaqi, the person of taqwa, the real person of taqwa, he is more severe in taking himself to account than the partner, shahi, the stingy, greedy partner is taking his partner to account in a business. Whenever somebody has a business with partner with somebody else, and then one of them is stingy and greedy on top of that, he has a partner, how much effort would he go to make sure he gets his portion? Not one penny is going to go away. He's going to take his partner into account. Thinking about it, he's greedy, shahi, stingy. He's going to take his partner to account in every last penny that he had. No, that was on you. That bill was for you. No, what about this? Where did this one go? Like this, he's saying that the person of righteousness and piety, the individual of taqwa, he takes himself to account more than this person takes his business partner to account. So he will be with himself like this, looking at himself. Did I pray seeking the reward? Did I leave off that deed fearing the punishment? Did I give the brother help because I want the lost pleasure? Or did I want something from him? Did I give somebody a ride the other day because I want the pleasure of Allah? Was it for some dunya? Did I come to Fajr seeking the pleasure of Allah? Or was I afraid that people might talk bad about me? All of this, he will hold himself into account like this. He'll hold himself to account like this. Always acting and asking himself. It's been narrated likewise that Umar, radiallahu anhu, he would ask himself and he would speak to himself about his worship and asking himself like this, was I sincere in this? This is the case of the Salaf al-Salih, taking themselves to account. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.